Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Thursday, September 8th, 2016, and I'm back and better than ever. I'm only smiling because the sun is shining and I've made it through the day. And it has been a great journey that I'm having coming up on October 1st. It is a wonderful time of year, lots of experience, and I am looking forward to talking to you from many different angles, law angles, political angles, humorous angles, and just so many fun and relating to life angles. Boy, I've had a summer since last May. This summer, friends, family, it has been an incredible, incredible journey. My name is Lauren P. Razor. I am an attorney at law. Also, I am a political commentator. I will be talking to you about probably the most funniest thing, but the most serious part of our history now, of course, is the 2016 election. I will talk about current events, life events, events that have shaped my life, and various other things that are just absolutely incredibly funny. Family, friends, all of you have shaped my life, and I look forward to talking to you every week about things that are on your mind and all kinds of things. So here we are tonight. You know, I start off, how do you start off a show laughing? Well, every time I think about the elections, I just, you know, run over and just laugh all day long because that Donald Trump is the guy I've ever seen. But I guess the joke's on us because he's the Republican nominee. So I guess he's got the laugh. So it's serious out there in terms of who is going to be the next president. Barack is still cool. He's just our president, President Barack Obama. I don't mean to be disrespectful. And he is still our president. But he's still cool. You know, I watched him speak half the time. I don't know what he's saying, but it sounds very respectful and it sounds dignified. And it's really, he's still cool, although he has a lot of gray hair now. I'm sure the office has, you know, caused his hair to go a little bit more gray than probably when he came into office. But that happens to most of the presidents. They rapidly, their hair was black when they got in, and then all of a sudden during the first 4 years, it gets whiter and whiter and whiter. I don't know if it would have gotten whiter if he wasn't the president. But one day we might have to test that out. I don't know. If there's any scientists out there, maybe you can let me know. But his hair is the last. He was over in China, and I saw him, and his hair is like almost white, gray kind of white. So, but he's still talking cool. The guy is, he had the Philippine, I don't know, he's backtracking, but the Philippine president or leader of the Philippines said something, the SOB word, to our president. And our president decided that I'm not going to visit you. You know, I'm not going to visit. And then he said it real cool. He said, I want to go somewhere where the conversation is going to be productive. That was a backward slap. You know what he really meant. Do you think that he means, do you think that he goes off like, you know, when Michelle is around, you know, like when he goes back home? Does he like slam his hands on the desk? You son of a gun. I like to see that, you know, just you know, maybe if, you know, when he's not the president, he will, get a little bit of out of character. You know, I don't know if the president, you know, just curses or you son of a gun and you know, all the, I don't know if he does that. I don't know what Obama was, the president was like. He seems to be always cool, never out of composure. No one can really ruffle his feathers. Like, I saw this politician in Westchester. I mean, now this is a politician, you know, like you're talking about Barack being cool, but then you're talking about a politician that was very upset with what someone said, and he called up another politician and cursed him out on the phone, but he left it in a message. So obviously that can be played hundreds and hundreds of times. So that part of it is, can't do that. You can't leave messages that are cursing people out and things like that. That's not a good thing. So let's talk about this election. I had a mother that called me up and said she was shocked at her child for saying that that person was not going to vote. Ah, and he's of voting age. And he pretty much said he was not going to vote. Wow, I said. He says he doesn't care anything about Hillary, and certainly Donald Trump is a madman. But he's an interesting madman because he's a billionaire. You know, and I guess, you know, you don't, you just go from a casino to the White House. It's just baffling, no experience, nothing. Never held a public office in his life, other than his lawyers telling him he pretty much knows not too much about how government works. And I find that that's going to be, he's really not going to be running anything, pretty much. It's going to be other people that work for him that are going to be running things. He's a flip-flopper, which is not a good thing. He's not decisive, dangerous situation. He's shown that he shoots from the hip and then finds out that that is inappropriate policy and procedure for America. So we have a dangerous situation with this person that's in the Republican Party, but for some reason he's picking up steam. There's such a anti-Clinton sentiment out there that, you know, the poor sister, and I say the poor sister, white women are sisters in their own way. Black women are sisters, Hispanics are sisters. So I refer to everyone as a sister. But, you know, Hillary has gone through a battery of everything. But whether you like Hillary Clinton or whether you like Donald Trump, it's not really about the candidates. And I keep trying to say that. It is and it isn't. It's about their appointments that I'm worried about. I'm not clear or sure of what maniac Donald Trump would try to put on the Supreme Court because there is an opening. I don't know whether that will affect, since he wants to give probably police more rights in terms of arrest and search and seizure. I don't know who he would put in with that ideology. So we already have a law in Florida where if you just feel threatened, you can shoot someone. So we don't want to have Supreme Court judges upholding those types of rules. So I think Hillary has shown a very, in terms of appointment, I can trust that her appointments will be from a liberal standpoint that will allow various protections for civil rights laws. I don't see her trying to dismantle a civil rights law.
I see Donald Trump trying to do that. I see as a business person not wanting to pay appropriate wages. I don't see that with a Hillary Clinton not wanting to pay people basic wages. I don't see that. I do see that in Donald Trump's background that he does not want to pay appropriate, or I don't know whether he would vote for raising the minimum wage. Now, let me just say this. I'm a businesswoman. No, do I want to pay employees more if I don't have to? It goes into profits. I have less money. That's what everyone says. So, really, the question is, in terms of the what my fear is people are paying attention to the rhetoric, but not paying attention to what these candidates, their policies are. The immigration policy, he doesn't have one. And I'm going to shape this argument that when you get off this show here, you will have something to say. It is not about the immigrants. It is about the people here who are hiring the immigrants. No one is talking about, I'm not hiring. I mean, I'm not a wealthy person hiring people to cut my lawn at $8 an hour opposed to $10 and $15. I'm not doing that. I'm not having that happen. The point that I'm making to you is about Americans here. We support this underground labor force, and we keep blaming the victims. They're coming here because there's opportunity here. These young people and families do not want to leave their country. If you talk to them, leave their wives, their children, their husbands, and come here and jump across a wall and jump across barriers and fight police officers and the possibility of getting shot. It's not because of they're not coming here. They're coming here because they believe and they're told that we create opportunities here. There is underground money off the books that are being paid to these people that are here. And they come here and provide a service that many of the American workers may not want to provide. We have to get real. And we are the country that continues to blame. I mean, I have it all over my family. I have it in people I talk to every day. Everybody wants to blame somebody. People that are coming here. I'm going to say it over and over again. Not one time, and I'm going to get you the law on this next week, not one time do we enforce the law against an employer who is found to hire those individuals that are illegal in this country. I have cases right now. I work on construction cases with a law firm that I'm of counsel to. God has given me the scope of what's happening here. In these large buildings, people who are undocumented are working and laboring walls, putting up scaffolding, putting up because they get injured. And we are in a legal quagmire. And this is going to be good by next week because I'm in a legal quagmire. Our firms, the companies are in a legal quagmire. And it has a major effect. What insurance covers them? Why are you hiring them in the first place? Because you don't want to pay an American worker a decent wage. We should be under and around corporate America protesting because they are the ones that are bringing them here. because the people that are here tell other people, and they tell other people, and they tell their families, and they tell their friends who are in different countries that I can get you a job. But think about what's going on. A person who is illegally documented, not documented to be in the United States, is working in a tall building and gets injured. Large corporations are hiring these groups of people. But we're in a quagmire because we now want to put up a defense that we don't want to pay them any money. We don't want to pay them for their injury because they're not legally documented. But there's no penalty, nothing, against the company that actually hired them. So as my favorite Godfather movie would say, my favorite Godfather saying, we are all part of this hypocrisy. We just truly do not believe applies to our family. That's real. This is so we need to reshape this argument and ask our government officials how many corporations have been fined, restaurants, whatever it is, have been fined for hiring illegal those who are undocumented in this country. If you start fining the employer, then I will bet you dimes to donuts that you will not have risking their lives to come here because there won't be any jobs for them to come to. Now, American workers also have to know, and let's be honest, there are certain jobs that they have to fill with undocumented workers because we don't want to do them. But we want to do them at such a minimum wage that the average company can't afford to hire an American worker. Our lifestyle doesn't, you know, our lifestyle is such that an average $15 an hour is not going to help a family of four. We need 25 an hour. This is what American workers are why there are so many people that are undocumented that are here. We have jobs for them. They work in your restaurants. I mean, I've never seen this before. I'm in an Italian restaurant, and the people in the kitchen are not Italian. They're from Mexico. I'm like, wow. You know, where'd you learn how to make lasagna? Lasagna's not in Mexico. I mean, I'm sure there's a Mexican version of lasagna, but I'm thinking authentic lasagnas made by my Italian brothers and sisters. But it's made by Mexicans. They can, you know, so it's a bunch of nonsense. And I want you to raise this issue up. Find the corporations. Find the companies. Find those that are hiring undocumented workers, and then we will be humane, and therefore there won't be any jobs available, but there'll be more jobs available for Americans. The wages will go up because you'd have to hire people at a decent wage. Corporations will have to make less profits but give more to working people, and that's how we solve it. We don't solve it by building a wall. There's not a wall, the stupid guy, there's not a wall high enough that they can't get over. So what are you going to build a wall? It's in the air? I mean, this is stupid. You know, we're not Russia. They knocked the wall down. I mean, does he know his own Republican Party knocked the wall down between Russia and, you know, and the United States? We don't build walls anymore. That's not what we do. And he's just so, the fact that he got this far, and we get back to the guy that sat down, that's another one, the one that sat down during the not raising his hand or not saluting the flag. and they're focusing on him. And then we have, you know, then we have Nazi signs at the NASCAR raceway. We've got all kinds of Confederate flags flying all over the place. Freedom to do that. And no one's saying a darn word about that, but we got a black guy that sits down and he's all over the place. We've got NASCAR, which is a Brian France company, in rednecks that wearing T-shirts saying no ends in NASCAR. But they have, what we're told by NASCAR is that there's freedom of speech there. We can protect them. There's no protest. There's nothing. But this young man who sits down and doesn't want to salute the flag, he's being vilified. We have to get intelligent people to speak on behalf of our people on the radio, on the air, to shape these arguments and let them know that these arguments that they're making about this young man, and then there was a lesbian sister that also sat down in solidarity. Freedom of speech goes both ways. If you allow these people to carry flags inside of a corporate-sponsored event with billions and billions of dollars going into this event, then those athletes have the absolute right to sit or stand on their head, backwards, whatever they want to do to show that they are in to show their expression, freedom of speech. You have NASCAR drivers who supported Donald Trump. That was their freedom to choose their elected officials. This is what this country is about, except this country is so hypocrisy-oriented, which I'm not sure if that's the way you say it, but it's really pathetic that we have to learn to turn these arguments around so that we can have some sort of intellectual debate. Donald Trump is doing exactly what he does by owning the casinos. He's saying anything he wants to get you in there. I'm sure that the laughter is going on that he'll get our vote if he just has buses with casinos on it, giving out vacuum cleaners and plates and dishes, and he'll get our vote. That's what he's counting on. I'm just kidding. But that's what he's counting on. You know, free vacuum cleaners and free plates and dishes, and you get a free room at the Trump Tower if you vote for me, because he thinks we're stupid, and obviously there is no respect for our history in this country, but obviously he doesn't have to respect us. Part of it is that we don't respect ourselves, and part of it is that we don't stick together, turn on each other for the stupidest things. I've never seen this before. We have to learn what loyalty is and how it should play out, so that no one can break the bond. But so we're going to continue on this political topic about voting. So the young man who was talking to his mother and says, don't vote, you're making a mistake. If you want to be stopped and frisked without any constitutional rights, then you have to vote for Donald Trump, because that's what he believes. Now, he has done, he has said everything, but he believes he can go to a black church and just pretend he's singing a hymn like Bill Clinton did, and then we're going to vote for him because he looked like he had a little rhythm there. And he believes that's the kind of disrespect that he has for, and that's the kind of thinking that they have about us. Now, we have some stupid people that support this man. This man has done everything to show that he's race baiting, that He doesn't care about the fallout of what he's saying because it doesn't affect him. He doesn't care about who he hurts and who he makes fun of and very insensitive. This man is not fit at all. How he got this far, I have no idea. That is an indictment of the Republican Party. If this is the best you can do to what you call run this country, then that's shame on you. Shame on you. We'll talk about Hillary and her credentials. And I mean, the thing with the cell phone, I mean, it's, you know, I'm reading the stories. It's hard to know what to believe. But, you know, it is stupid. You know, I don't know if it's true. You have the national security stuff on your personal cell phone. Who does that? It's not even who does it. Anyway, this is, we're about to wrap it up on these events. But next week we'll talk about the, I mean, I don't want to talk about the emails. I'm going to talk about the credentials. And I want to talk about the immigration policies that they're not fining the employers, and I'll give you the law on that. But until then, you know, let's start thinking and let's start planning for our lives for the future. And I wish you back to school students, you know, keep fighting for a better education, and that helps you live the wealthy life. Signing off, Lauren Raisin, until next week. Boy, I tell you, these elections is just, man, it should be a comedy show on the elections. Oh, I think it is. Anyway, next week, living the wealthy life. This is Lauren Raisin.